the mistake I see a lot of new people making is they copy really big companies' marketing. But a small business owner has way too small a budget to do any kind of campaign like that, so they need to focus more on problem agitation and having some fun with what they're doing and getting people, you know, getting something that's share worthy.
All right, it's time for another episode of Grow the Dream today.
How in the world did the cartoon character Brushy Bear go viral?
What are the secrets to success? How do you get virality? Bacon, cats, and zits all coming up.
Can't wait.
Good show.
Welcome to the most indispensable show for people doing the hard work of growing your business. It's the marketing podcast by entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs. Welcome to Grow the Dream.
All right, welcome to episode 64 of...
Oh, Grow the Dream, baby.
It wasn't Josh's tune. That's all right.
You told me to look at the camera, y'all.
No warning on Josh's jingle. Sorry.
You set me up on that.
Had to do that to you, man. It's been a while since we did that to you.
So. You know, I was going to bring in cold brew.
Oh, no. What happened?
And then I decided not to.
Oh, it's my fault?
That was a compelling story,
No,
Josh.
But I'm glad I did, because he pulled a jerk move like that right off the bat.
Sorry, Josh. That wasn't very nice. I'm sorry about that. Hey, speaking of brews of the day, this is a repeat, so that we can skip that.
Boring.
Yep. But we have...
Actually, it tastes good, though.
No. I have a brew of the day story. I complained because Starbucks didn't have my birthday reward 4 days after my birthday.
Really?
Punk move, right?
Yeah.
I was pissed.
Did you take the Amazon Echo in there and tell them you were going to show the world?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, but I tweeted, and I was like...
Nice.
You're going to like this. You're going to like this. Okay. Did you see this?
No.
I was like, what the hell, Starbucks?
Okay.
This birthday boy is no longer happy.
This is a classic first world drama here.
Yeah, I know. Very, very much so. And I knew that. And I actually acknowledged that. The second half of the tweet was, it's first world. I know.
Okay.
But still, you know, I was all happy because it's my birthday. I'm no longer happy. So anyway, one of my followers is like, hey, I'll send you $5 on your Amazon card.
A follower?
Yeah, stop tweeting.
Yeah. So a follower sends me $5 on coffee. I got the credit this morning.
That's
yeah.
a nice story.
How weird is
this
that?
This is what Twitter has become, hasn't it? Where we just complain to brands.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, it's the fastest way to get a response out of someone else.
Yeah, they definitely didn't respond, though.
Oh, that's funny. So the voice...
Not even the passive, you know, favorite.
That's right. They didn't do the hate fave on your...
No.
So the voice you're hearing in the background, dear listener, is our guest today. It's Brad Goss. Brad, how are you?
I'm great, thanks.
Good. We're going to do our full intro on you and all of the fun story behind why you're here in a few.
But first, the news at the top of the hour.
All right, nice. So who's got news? We got news. I got news. You got news?
Well, I don't know if it's news. I found it sort of interesting because of what I do, but the PR Newswire has partnered with Shutterstock now. Because they are finally all seeing the importance of using visuals in press releases and public relations.
So PR people can't find their own pictures.
Right.
So PR Newswire
just
easy button.
It's making it as idiot-proof as possible, which makes... I read it and I just sort of chuckled because I thought, sure, okay, well, it's good that you guys are catching up to 2007.
It's like it took you this... Okay, thank you. Yes. This is what I'm like, really? This is news for you guys?
But it's going to be Shutterstock photos. I mean, I'm just not sure that's actually going to be all that compelling in a press release, really.
Right.
But anyway, so that was my news. My news is that PR Newswire is now up to 2007, so...
But isn't...
Great. Good for them.
Isn't PR Newswire for suckers anyway?
So. Yes. I mean, as you guys know, I highly don't recommend PR Newswire.
Is there an online PR company that you would submit your stuff to?
I have not found one because
it's
so
called
much...
ThompsonPR.com.
Exactly. That would be the one. Right. Exactly.
There's no P in Thompson.
You send all your press releases manually to your different sources.
I do. I mean, we group ones, but they're targeted and they're specific to the organization, to the person in the right
So in that Hacking the Press episode two episodes ago.
Right.
I was actually confused. I thought you were saying that even submit, like creating a press release and submitting it was actually one of the better ways, but you're saying you don't submit it.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
You just submit it by emailing it.
Manually.
Yeah. Right. You submit it in a more personalized fashion than just blast it out. Because on the other side of it, all those ones that are coming from PR Newswire and all, They're all just going straight to trash. They're not being opened at all.
Okay, good to know.
Yep.
All right. I'll start asking questions.
This is a fun one because we did a whole show on Facebook last week, it seems. Facebook has finally introduced a rights manager.
As in, I've got my rights.
Yeah, I've got my rights. Exactly. It came from a college campus, and what it is, we all see these viral videos that go absolutely crazy on Facebook, and it's posted by like viral videos for you,
like hot babes. You're like, why? Just so you can put a profile picture of a chick,
or they drop like an F-bomb in the name of the Facebook page or whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, those are pages that are basically freeloading off of other content creators, and so what they do is they copy the video, they download it, then they re-upload it to their own page, and they get all the views and the juice out of it. So yeah. Facebook has introduced a rights manager, and basically it's their way of saying you can now, if you spot somebody using your stuff, you can. Go to Facebook and complain, and they apparently are going to do something about it.
So it's not an automated thing like Google's is like, oh, I hear your music. You're using music from somebody else.
Yeah, YouTube has Content ID, which actually automatically matches stuff. I don't think this is anywhere near that, but you can go to rightsmanager.fb.com to sign up, and you have to apply. I don't know what that process looks like because I haven't done it yet.
Uh-huh.
But what you do is you upload your own content in there to monitor and protect, including live video streams. So somehow you upload a live video stream.
Upload a live video stream.
I'm just like, reading the copy on the homepage.
Wow.
Right?
Like it automatically happens with your account? That's not what it's saying?
Yeah, because you have to do it in Rights Manager, apparently.
Then you probably have to prove you have some kind of copyright or trademark or something to back it up.
In theory. So then you specify permitted uses, and you set some rules. And anyway...
Okay, fun stuff. In other news, I did try Instant Articles, tried to get it running on my site. I submitted the feed, and then it's like, you need to submit some articles, like 10 articles for review. And the button's grayed out. I've done everything else, and the button is just...
Is this button in PageFrog, or is it in actually
no,
the Facebook?
No, this is actually like the Facebook page's manager. It's weird. You have to go to instantarticles.fb.com.
Okay.
And apply to be a part. I was instantly approved. And so then I go to my page and I start managing these things. Gives you this list of like all... I thought it was going to be an easy thing. Because I'd already had it set up on my... Yeah. Anyway. Okay.
We scoff
Joke's
at that.
On me, I
Sorry.
Guess.
No, no, no. I'm
anyway,
with you. I would have expected
I'm still,
it to be simpler
like,
than
submitted
that.
Submitted my RSS feed, like everything, like to the book, to the T. And
did you have more than 10 items in your feed? Maybe that was part of it.
Well, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, who knows?
Okay, so I have a personal news.
Okay, personal news.
Last night I was at an event and I met the man who killed Osama bin Laden.
Oh, dude, that's awesome! I saw he was going to be in the area.
Yeah. That
did
was
you
cool.
did you like slap
was,
him on the butt or
he
something?
Was, you know, he has a lot of security for not shocking reasons.
That's kind of funny, actually.
Yeah.
The dude that killed
a guy who
bin Laden.
I mean, the leader of SEAL Team 6 needs security.
Oh, wow.
But he obviously has a big target on his back. He was a fantastic speaker.
So you didn't pat him on the butt?
I did not pat him anywhere. I did not pat Rob O'Neill anywhere, let it be on the record.
Like the football player thing, that's all I mean.
Do you have a history of patting?
Well, I did play sports in high school, and there was a lot of rear swatting
I'm gonna
in the
move
70s.
A little further away from that.
Yeah.
No, that's funny, though.
It's still happens.
The only rears I swatted were my children's, though.
So. Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So that was, that was amazing. I mean, I won't go into it, but he's a great speaker and a really compelling story. The only downside was he actually couldn't talk about the bin Laden raid.
Of course.
But he could talk about a bunch of other ones that were in the news. And when he brings them up, you're familiar
with
them.
They made the movie on that. He was probably in that movie.
I'm sure his character was. Yeah.
Well, right. There were a bunch of actual SEALs in that movie.
They were real, yeah.
Yeah.
What was that one called? SEAL Teams? No, that wasn't called.
I don't remember. Oh, Zero Dark 30.
Zero Dark 30. Yeah.
Right.
Wow, that's cool.
So that was really fun. Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah.
So he gets $10,000 a night to come speak, but he can't talk about the thing that made him famous.
Right. I do not know what the prize was, but I know I was talking to the media people afterwards that were there, and I said, so you got your story? And he said, well, except he couldn't talk about the
only reason,
raid.
The only reason we brought him here.
So the guy ended up, the reporter ended
that's
up.
That's a nice little bait and switch.
Yeah, it is. The reporter ended up doing a story on Governor Scott, who was also at the event speaking. And also, yeah, so he was stuck with that. And
always
laughed.
Always pick the bald guy in the room. That's what all right. Well, that's fun. So coming up, we have an exciting segment. We're going to fully introduce our guest, Brad Goss, and we're going to talk about why cartoons need to be a part of your future. So,
excellent. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's going to be good. So I'm wearing a hat today.
Oh, these guys are good.
Because I have a massive zit on my forehead. And so when I was walking into my office this morning before I came here.
Now I want to see it.
No, I'm not going to show it. It was so bad. I'm like, I either have to wear makeup on the podcast this morning or I'm grabbing that WP Engine hat. And so I grabbed
I figured by you wearing the WP Engine hat, you would not need to talk about the zit. That was the idea behind it.
No, I don't mind talking about it. I just didn't want anybody to see it.
Oh, fascinating.
But I'm like an 8-year-old now. I want to see it.
I want to squeeze it. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's pretty disgusting.
It's hideous.
So
okay, he just said he wanted to squeeze it. That explains the video.
That makes good viral video right there.
That's right. That would work.
Yes. You know, follow Dr. Pimple Popper on Instagram.
All right, let's wrap up this so-called ad.
So I switched to WP Engine a few weeks ago for one of our clients, and I got to tell you, it was the baddest experience I've ever seen for moving a website.
Really?
Yeah.
Of course, it only works for WordPress. If you're not familiar with WP Engine, they are super fast, and it's highly tuned hosting specifically for WordPress.
It's like a Corvette for WordPress.
Yeah, it's really, and it's fully managed, so they do the updates, they keep, you know, your server tweaked and all that stuff. It's really fantastic. But here's how you move. Are you ready for this? You go to your existing site. First of all, you go sign up for WP Engine, which your link is
gtdshow.com/WP Engine.
Because that way you can support Grow the Dream Show. So you go to gtdshow.com/WP Engine, you sign up for an account, and they take you through the sign-up process. Then you go to your existing site and you install their plugin. They give you a plugin to download and install. You put the plugin in. It does some magic. It sucks your site over to WP Engine. Then you log into the WP Engine platform and there's your site. And it's like on a staging URL.
Right.
You can test everything, make sure it works, do whatever you got to do.
Nice.
And then you go change your DNS. And there's like one final step where you run the plugin one last time on your live site in case you got any new comments or blah, 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 blah. And then it sucks it over one last time.
Do they even help you change the DNS?
They have articles that help you do that.
Good enough.
I would imagine if you really didn't know how, you could probably get their support
people. Most people would know, like, moving a WordPress site is never that easy. Like, you normally have to find the database, do the file separately. There's an export function in WordPress. All this, like, 10 different things. And then you're like, is it working? Is it working?
And then you got to test it on the new platform, and you can't test it with your...
Can we move the DNS now? You know. Anyway, WP Engine.
WP Engine.
Two months.
Wait a minute. What was that link again, Josh?
Well, it's gtdshow.com/WP Engine. But you can get 2 months free off of 1 year of their service.
Yeah, so sign up for a year link, and you save yourself 2 months worth. And the plans are cheap. They start at $29 for one site and then they move on up from there. Here's one thing that's really cool, though. Once you have a WP Engine account, you can create as many sites as you want. Like for clients, for example, if you develop WordPress sites, you can create them in your account as many as you want to, and then turn them on one at a time as your clients sign up for
real
accounts.
And you only pay for them
like, when they convert to an account.
Oh, that's awesome.
And you can run your own. They have a one click that creates a staging site for your live WP Engine site. So you can go test and play and do other things.
That's really smart.
And then
they
have another button that you press that makes that live. I mean, it's really bad. It's really cool.
Excellent.
Yeah, cool. Good stuff.
So, but I think there's a compelling question you guys haven't answered for our listeners.
What's that?
When do they get their hat?
Oh, you have to know somebody.
Oh, I see.
To get the hat.
Sure. Yeah. Always.
Oh, hold on a second. We're going to have to rectify that situation.
I know somebody.
Situation.
I'm not giving my hat up. It's got a zit stain on it. You don't want that.
No, good point.
His sense of humor. I can't wait to get into this interview. This is going to be good.
Okay, so Brad is the founder, president, CEO, chief... I don't know what to call you.
Chief Zit Popper.
Of Vector Tunes. So speaking of Shutterstock, I mean, really, Shutterstock doesn't get it, do they? I mean, you know, you got to have photos if you're on Shutterstock, right? So Brad created Vector Tunes. Tell us what Vector Tunes is. This is cool.
It's like a giant repository of cartoon clip art, but it's modern clip art. So it's not, you know, the crappy stuff that came with, you know, Microsoft Office in 1998.
Oh, my gosh.
It's the modern day, you know, equivalent of it that you can use in sales copy, content marketing pieces, you know, PDFs, presentations, all that kind of stuff, videos.
I was looking at it this morning, actually. It's really nice clip art.
But it's not just clip art. I mean, these are like cartoon characters.
I mean, it's called clip art, right? But when I say really nice, I'm not giving the credit that it's due.
It's cool because, you know, I mean, if you show up in a presentation and you've got like a crappy stock photo with that one guy that's in all of the stock photos ever made.
And everybody recognizes it for what it is. You could look at this stuff and think it was original.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this has character. They have personality. They have good stuff. So
I mean, I immediately like and dislike some of these personally.
Yeah. They create
it's
emotion.
That good.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So you mean you don't just like and dislike the art. You dislike the
character. The character.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's what I mean.
Exactly. Yeah. Hey, yeah, you're a jerk.
So how did that come about? And obviously this is not your first internet thing. I mean, you have a lot of internet marketing experience with affiliate marketing and all that sort of good stuff, right?
Yeah, I've been in the biz since the late 90s, so I've definitely been through a few different cycles. But this kind of came from my own style of writing sales copy. So, you know, I didn't really like the traditional sales letters. You know, copywriting is great and when done right can sell a lot more stuff. But I didn't like the style of sales letters. So I had cartoons injected into them. I made them look like comic books. And I hired a full-time cartoonist to help me with that and with my book. And she was amazing. You know, everything I asked her to create, I loved. And when I was done with the projects, I couldn't bring myself to let her go. I was just like, I got to keep this girl. Like, she's so good. I'm just going to keep giving her work. So every project I did, I injected cartoons into it. Before I knew it, I had this folder full of cartoons I had only used once. So I thought, well, why don't I just catalog them all, pay someone to keyword them all, and put them up on a website and see if anybody else wants to buy them for, you know, $2 a piece. And they did. Now I got 6 full-time cartoonists working for me.
Man, that's so cool.
Wow.
And then, so the cartoons are available. So somebody who is familiar with buying stock images, they already sort of get the idea, right? If you wanted to put a cartoon character, and wait, let me before I go down that road, you got a cartoon character, and it's not just that cartoon character in one pose, right?
It depends. Some of them are just one-offs. You know, like somebody wants a guy with a bullhorn, it might just be a one-off. But then we have a cast of 6 characters. In a bunch of different styles, and then those 6 characters, there's, you know, thousands of individual images of that one character. So if you want to use that character through a narrative, we've got, you know, the same person on the phone happy, on the phone angry, yelling, crying, you know, all kinds of different cooking, you know, all kinds of different poses.
Right.
So that's what I think is so great about that, because you can use them. You can use the same character over and over again for different purposes, and you kind of create some continuity. Like if you're building a presentation, you know, or something along those lines. So that's pretty cool. But obviously, VectorToons itself is not the reason that we met. You and I met because of a character that you actually named and turned into somebody. So can you give us the origin story, because that's a different story, but the real origin story, you know what I mean, of your favorite little guy.
So I'm gonna try and put my creepiest voice I can on here and say I play a cartoon bear on the internet. So out of VectorToons, you know, I kept saying to myself, I've got this talent, these amazing people working for me who create. I can't draw to save my life, and I'm just always fascinated by the work that they put out. And I thought, why can't we bring something bigger to life, like a real cartoon character? And just thought up of a bunch of different things. And I, you know, I'm a business guy, so I thought, well, how can I create something that, you know, could lend itself to a category? And I came up with a little bear that helps kids brush their teeth. His name's Brushy Bear.
You know, kids need help brushing their teeth.
Everybody needs help brushing their teeth. I need help.
So I need a Brushy Bear picture on my window or
mirror.
Yeah.
I have a sticker on my mirror that has Brushy Bear on it, says brush your teeth.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's as silly as it sounds, I've actually been a lot more conscious of my oral health since like bringing this thing to life.
That's so interesting.
A creator bias there, maybe a little bit?
Maybe.
You know, I can say that when we got the tongue brush account as an account for our business, I had known about brushing my tongue for many years and did, but not as nearly as consistently as I have since they became our client.
Do you actually
client.
Use their tool or just your tongue?
Oh, I do, yeah.
I just brush.
You're contractually obligated to brush your tongue now?
I am, yeah. If I show up somewhere with a nasty tongue, you know, everybody knows.
It's a bad rep, yeah.
Yeah, it's bad.
You're in violation of your contract, too.
Well, not, yeah, because I appear in, I'm the face of a lot of these videos. I mean, you guys have seen some of these videos right. with me hawking a loogie on camera and all that stuff.
You and the monkeys.
The chimpanzee, exactly. So,
and this show is really crass.
Today? Or just
well, mostly today.
In general.
Possibly in general, but definitely today.
I don't really think of it that way.
No, but so I get that. So here we are. So I'm working with Tongue Brush, and we're zipping along, and we're trying to do viral-ish videos. I mean, we did a Heimlich Maneuver Day video last year for National Heimlich Maneuver Day.
How did I miss that?
That's a day?
Yeah. Oh, it is. You didn't know?
Of course it is.
Absolutely. There's National Heimlich Maneuver Day.
If there's a phrase or anything, there's a day for it.
You go to nationaldaycalendar.com, and you can find something for just about every day
of
the year.
Is there a Marketer's Day?
Oh my God!
There's got to be. There's probably like 10 of those. Exactly. There's probably one every month. But
right.
anyway, yes.
Right.
So
probably a hat to cover your zit day.
Yeah, exactly. So like we're creating all these videos, and we got a chimp. We hired a circus chimp who's been in the chimpanzee that was in the Wolf of Wall Street. He's in one of our videos, and another one coming up. And so we've been doing these videos and all this sort of stuff, and we're paying money to promote them, and they get response. And then they kind of flame up and they flame out. And it's kind of, meh, you know, it is what it is. So Brad contacts us and he says, hey, I got Brushy Bear and he's an internet sensation. And I'm like, huh? So we go check out. And so, Brad, you had already posted the very first Brushy Bear video in, I think it was December or so, not quite six months ago. And I don't remember the numbers now that you approached us with, but I remember going, that's pretty good. So can you tell us a little bit more about, like, you know, how you got to the stage of Brushy Bear becoming, you know, a viral video sensation?
Yeah. So I started a Facebook page. I actually had the cartoon characters drawn in the summer, and then they sat in my hard drive folder in my Dropbox for months. I just, you know, it was like one of those back burner projects I just sat on. And then a writer friend of mine contacted me. It was the end of the year, close to the end of the year, and he said, hey, I need some writing work. What do you got? I was like, I got this cartoon bear I need an origin story for. Are you interested? And he said, sure. He wrote me a book and an origin story. Every superhero needs an origin story. So he wrote the origin story, and with the origin story, he wrote a song. And he said, you know, do what you want with this song, but it's part of the story. And I was like, okay. So I went on Fiverr.com, and I hired a guy for $40 to create a song. Record the written song and give me the copyright to it. And so he recorded it, and it was just, you know, like strumming the guitar, Brushy Bear, singing about brushing your teeth. And it was I didn't like it.
Okay, I was wondering what it was.
So I sped it up 1.5 times and was like, that's the song.
No way.
Yeah. And so this guy records all the songs for us, and we speed them up so that they sound a little more cartoon
right.
bear-ish.
That makes total sense.
And I put it up on Facebook, and my original thought was, this, you know, the hardest thing with going viral is audience, right? Picking the audience that's going to just go nuts with what you've shown.
The seed audience, kind of. Like, who do you plant this with? Yeah.
So I went after people. I thought, you know, this is for parents and children, so I – went after that audience, and I got crickets. I was like, oh man, this is
been there.
The more you know me, the more you'll understand. I throw like 9 things at the wall for one thing to stick. So this was actually
that's a good percentage.
You know, after a long string of failures, and I thought, uh oh, another failure here. And so I tried dentists, and again, dead. I thought, oh man, this is like bumming me out. And I went after a few different audiences, small dollar tests, but still like just no engagement, no reaction.
Yeah.
And then I went after dental hygienists, dental assistants, dental receptionists, dental nurses, sort of anybody outside of the dentists just weren't on Facebook.
Right.
Yeah.
The hygienists and the assistants, man, they're on Facebook all day long.
And they're the ones that do the teeth cleanings and everything.
They're the ones that spend the most time. This is,
absolutely.
You know, like in our history with promoting Tongue Brush, it's always been about the hygienist, because when you go to the dentist, I mean, you see the dentist for like minutes, seconds, but you spend time with the hygienist while she, you know, does all that work to your mouth.
Yeah, and their job is to advise you.
Exactly.
on that type of thing. So, you know, it's people listen to them and they see them with authority. And even in their friend group on Facebook, they're kind of influencers in their own little pocket,
of
right?
Course, like, they would be on their
everybody
topic.
Knows yep. that their friend is a hygienist, and that's yep. the person they would call if they had a problem yep. with their gums or their teeth or whatever.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, that makes total sense. You should have started
after that
with
audience,
that one, Brad.
And it blew up. Like, they just all of a sudden I got shares and likes and comments and people tagging each other. You got to see this. It's so funny. Hala, ha, ha. You know, and just kept injecting some dollars into it to keep the virality going. It's like, you know, pouring gasoline on the fire. You know, you just put right. you buy a view and you get two for free, you know, and you just kind of keep doing that. And that's when I approached David. I think we were over 200,000 views on the first video. And I thought, I need to partner with some companies on this thing.
How did you find David?
Twitter. This is every deal I've done so far. I've got deals with Kentucky Dental Association, Massachusetts Dental Society. We're working with a bunch of different companies, associations, like, you know, putting all kinds of deals together. They've all come through Twitter. You pick up the phone, you call somebody these days, they treat you like garbage. But when you tweet, you actually get activity. And I think I originally reached out over Twitter. We had followed each other, and then I sent you a direct message.
That sounds right. I remember getting the contact, and it was through the Tongue Brush account, so okay, it wasn't through my personal account. But I remember getting the message and thinking it was you know, the timing was everything, Brad, because on this show we had been doing shows about influencer marketing, and for Tongue Brush we were starting to look for influencers that had audiences, and so. And we had done some initial outreach, but we weren't real thrilled with how it was going. And so when we saw Brushy Bear, it was like, okay, Brushy Bear's not exactly an influencer yet, but he could be.
He could be.
Yeah.
And the fact that you were getting virality out of the, you know, the hygienists, that was the big kicker for us. It was like, all right, this
well,
makes a lot of sense.
That's the wave of the future, right?
Yeah.
Cartoon influencers.
Right.
Oh, sure.
Well, it is now.
Yeah.
We haven't thought about that.
Smokey
the Bear.
That was it. We said, okay, let's make something happen here. And then we had an initial meeting, and Brad came back with he said, all right, we're gonna go work on this, we're gonna put something together. And he came back with Brush Your Tongue, It Smells Like Bum. And we had a moment where it was like, huh.
I knew that was going to happen when I wrote it. I was like,
but this is before the jingle. Like, this is just in text form.
No, he had the song done.
Okay.
I don't. You know what? I find that when I work with people, it's best to not give them too much approval in the process. Rather, just show them the end result.
Yeah.
So that they can see the vision more, right? It cost me $40 on Fiverr to have the song recorded. So,
right.
You know, what's the big deal if I lose $40 if they absolutely, and my attitude was, this song is so good, I'm putting it out with or without you guys. Like, it has to go out one way or another.
All right, so when we come back, we're going to tell you the story of the stats and the impact of Brushy Bear.
This is great stuff.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Coming up next. Hey, Rod. Have you ever been guilty of plagiarism?
I hope not.
How do you know?
Wow, good question.
How would you know?
Excellent question.
What if you hired a writer and that writer was guilty of plagiarism?
You'd be in trouble.
How would you know?
Yeah.
And how much would you spend to make sure you weren't plagiarizing accidentally?
So.
Nefariously.
In addition to checking your grammar and spelling, Grammarly checks for plagiarism. I didn't know that.
I did not know that either.
I think that's really freaking cool.
You guys have had the tool and never used it?
I use it. It shows up on Facebook. It shows up in the WordPress portfolio. I mean,
and
it shows up all over the place.
You can get the browser plugin for Chrome, Safari, and Firefox. It's free.
And every field you type in, it automatically starts checking out your grammar.
Yeah,
really. You know if you have
it
problems.
It does. It gives you a little red underline. It gives you the option to check it on Grammarly or to ignore it. And if you check it, it just does a little pop-up box, and you can then ignore that or make the changes, or it'll give you options for changes.
And it's a free plan with paid options available as well.
Yeah, so. But it also works inside of Word and Outlook. So if you're doing your email in Outlook, I don't know why you would, but if you are, you know, you can.
Or if you're like writing things in Word docs.
Yeah.
Rod.
You know, for people who do that still. So all you need to do is go to gtdshow.com/grammarly.
In case you have a hard time spelling.
G-R-A-M-M.
If you have issues with spelling as well.
Yeah.
A-R-L-Y. Spell the word Grammarly.
Grammar.
And then add the word L-Y.
Well, it's just, yeah, two letters. L-Y.
GTDShow.com.
GTDShow.com/Grammarly. And I hope it helps you. All right, we're back with episode 64 and Brad Goss, otherwise known as Brushy Bear. So, okay, we got through the story of how Brushy Bear came to be.
You got to get to the numbers, David.
And how Clean Your Tongue, It Smells Like Bum came to be. And by the way, I can attest, Brad did not give us much approval. No, we could have vetoed it, but the only thing we would have really been vetoing, as he was saying, was whether tongue brush, the product,
the
was
brand
actually
was on there
in this song or not, because it was going to go out either way.
Right.
And so, how did that make you feel, David?
you know, I was okay with it because we actually had been working on a script for a video where we were gonna ask people, why is it that your breath smells exactly like
butt?
Yeah, except we weren't gonna say butt.
Oh,
we were actually thinking edgy. But here was the problem. Some of our edgy,
you're gonna use the A word.
We were. Some of our
And how do you feel about that, Rod?
I'm familiar with the A word.
So
I find it hurtful.
yeah, there you go.
So the reason that we hadn't done it yet, though, is because most of our efforts at creating viral videos were targeted at the wrong people. Like our own scripts, and we knew this. Like our own brainstorming was like, this is college age kind of, you know, or middle school, yeah, you know, kind
right,
of humor.
Right.
And it's not really mom who buys the oral hygiene products for the house, which is who we really wanted to, you know,
right,
light up. And so bum is kind of one of those words. It's like, you know, that's the word you use when you're talking to a 4-year old.
Yeah.
You know,
it's true.
Sit on your bum, you know. So Brad made a case for it. He's like, you know, it's not culturally offensive anywhere in the world that we know of.
You couldn't just say poop. I mean, kids like saying poop.
No, we wanted to
do bum.
Yeah. Bum is less
plus
offensive.
It was already recorded.
Well, there's that. Yeah.
Plus, the work was done.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway,
$40 was spent.
Okay, so we went with it. All right. So I didn't mean to spend all that time. So we went with it, and today, so this is 2 months later, a little over 2 months later now. The clean your tongue. It smells like bum. Video has been viewed 446,000 times.
Oh wow!
On Facebook, it's been shared 2,950 times. So almost 3,000 shares.
You have the organic versus paid reach numbers?
We do, yeah. 3,700 almost comments. Just shy of 3,700 comments.
3,700 comments.
How many of those are just like people tagging people?
The vast majority of them are just people tagging other people.
That's okay.
That's how you know you got something good.
That's the best. Yep. That's what you want.
That's equivalent to a share, except better.
Right. Well, could be.
Because if I share something and you're my friend, Josh, you may or may not see it.
Right.
But if I tag you in it, you're going to see it.
Oh, hell yeah. I'll be like, why did he tag me in this comment that just has my name? And then I'll see the video.
And then there are comments like, hey, this is the reason we bought those brushes and all this sort of stuff. So on the flip side of this, so there's the video and there's all the excitement around the video itself. But let me tell you what happened at Amazon.
Yes.
After a couple of weeks of this video, some momentum started to pile up. And
I remember before you told me this, you said our product, if we bump off the number one in Amazon for
tongue cleaners. Tongue cleaners category.
Yeah, that's funny. This category.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, that'll never happen. These guys have been here forever. They're the number one search result, blah,
exactly,
blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that stinks.
There's a there's a tongue scraper product that is like a torture device from ancient India.
And that's the number one?
And that's the number one product in tongue cleaners. And it's also the number one Google result. If you Google tongue cleaner, you're going to see this thing.
Which is probably what drives their rankings.
Their Amazon rankings, exactly. Well, I'm you know, chicken and egg, right? You know,
exactly.
But it worked.
Sure.
So there was a moment on Amazon where we became the number one selling tongue cleaner, and
that was thanks to the cartoon character.
Well, I've got to say we haven't been able to duplicate it since, you know. Okay. So, but what happened was the momentum really picked up on Amazon. And the sales spiked in such a way that our inventory wasn't ready to sustain it. So I had to contact Brad about 6 days into the sales spike and say, hey, Brad, can we pause those ads?
Uh-huh. I was like, no!
I know. I was too, but I'm like, you know, we're driving traffic and we don't have the inventory at Amazon, so it's showing out of stock.
Yeah.
The listing for our starter pack, which includes a brush and a gel, the 3-ounce gel,
sure,
that listing got deactivated.
So give me some numbers as far... Maybe you can't tell me how much sales it has resulted, but do you have a percentage of growth kind of before and after?
So yeah, we've ratcheted up to the point now where we are about 20% higher consistently in our Amazon sales than we were before all of this started.
Okay, just this year, not previous years, but since pre-video or post-video versus pre-video.
So to give you some idea, 2015, we were up 94% over 2014.
Oh, wow.
And this is a well-established product. Keep in mind, this thing has been on the market for 18 years now. So we were up, we 2X'd essentially in 2015. We're on track to do the same thing in 2016.
Wow.
Yeah, so year-to-date sales are...
And you increased 20% off of an already gangbuster year.
But if you just drew the trajectory before Brushy Bear, we were already doing that.
Yeah.
But when Brushy Bear came in, it spiked us. So you know, we're consistently running about 20% higher than where we projected we would be.
So now you're thinking maybe we should roll out some new products.
Well, we're going to roll out more videos. You know?
Forget
the products.
Exactly.
So anyway, we've had a lot of fun with Brushy Bear. I'm sorry to spend so much time on the results, but so this is what I love about this, right? Very hard to create virality with real video, but for some reason, these cartoon characters are so freaking disarming.
Well, and so I wanted to ask Brad about if he's got any insights from this and from others that he's done as far as what are the best ways to use such disarming cartoon characters and to create viral video? Now, I understand, say that there are no silver bullets for creating virality.
Poop
we all
jokes.
Know that. So beyond poop jokes and stuff. And
well, there's
beyond
a cat.
Kim Kardashian's bum.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, and there's
Did you strategically plan the cat just because people love cats?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Cats and bacon.
Cats on the internet? You can't lose.
No, you can't. You really can't. So, but what insights would you have for our listeners as far as, you know, how they would approach? They have a product. They want to, whether they want to use VectorToons or something like that. How do they go about creating something and then targeting it?
So the ingredients for a viral video are cats, poops, and squeezing zits.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we thought it was cats and bacon, so we got that domain.
It's bacon and cats.
Okay. Yeah. See, I always get it backwards.
Yeah. We had to have a version.
It seems like those are the two most popular things on the internet, so we thought we'd put them together.
Ours is alphabetical.
So here's actually something that would go viral is if you had some kind of an article that said in some foreign country they make cat bacon.
Oh yeah,
you're right.
So, right.
Well, there is
right.
The cat poop coffee, so you know the bacon, you know, cat bacon would work.
Well, I was thinking with all these hovercrafts, like put a cat on a hovercraft and you'd be like levitating cat or something like that.
Oh,
that would
my
be
God,
cool.
No.
Oh, you would have the animal rights people just killing you.
Oh, but that's okay. We would have made our buck.
Okay,
by
so
that.
That's actually the that's
that's not bad.
Point that is one of the key ingredients. The key ingredient is polarization.
Yeah, I suppose controversy doesn't hurt, does it?
Yeah, you've got to be willing to make a certain segment of the audience dislike you while another segment likes you. And then the other thing that I found, especially with cartoons, is have two layers of humor. Have one layer for kids and one layer for adults if you can.
Sure.
Ah, yeah. Like the Disney movies that have those.
The Muppets started this.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Muppets. Yeah. Kings
and
of this.
Phineas and Ferb are great with it.
Side jokes for the parents, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
Basic humor, more slapstick type humor for the kids.
You go back and you watch the video 10 years later after you first saw it as a kid, and you're like, wow.
There's stuff in there.
The number of things that went over my head when I first saw this cartoon.
Exactly.
Oh, it's crazy.
So with that, I think, and you're welcome to whether it's Brushy Bear or cartoons or not. One of the things that I find is that a lot of business owners and people who are newer to marketing online, for example, don't have the same viewpoint as someone who understands internet marketing from the, you know, internet marketing world, like the direct response, you know, long copy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, direct response kind of world. So I know that you have some experience in that world. So are there some lessons that you could say maybe we could pull out for, you know, somebody who's a business owner or a marketer for a business?
Yeah, I think the mistake I see a lot of new people making is they copy really big companies' marketing. You know, they'll go and copy, you know, The Gap or somebody who's got like a giant marketing budget.
Budweiser.
And those companies are doing the worst job of marketing.
Right, they just have so much money behind it.
Yeah, because there's so much money, it's just like, oh, let's just impress the brand everywhere. We'll put sexy models, and you know, they don't really think much about the response. But a small business owner has way too small a budget to do any kind of campaign like that. It's not going to get them the, even in a local newspaper or a local, you know, Facebook page, they're not going to get that kind of result. So they need to focus more on, you know, problem agitation and, you know, having some fun with what they're doing and getting people, you know, getting something that's share worthy. So you've always got to inject some content in what you're doing. It's, you know, all marketing is content now.
Boy, that is the truth. And that's a silver dollar phrase right there. That's a $64,000 phrase.
Yeah, it is. It's probably always been true, but it's blatant to us now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you look, I mean, one of the things I love to do, David knows this, is I love to go to libraries and go through like 100-year-old periodicals, and I take pictures of the ads.
Yeah.
On my phone, and then, you know, I go through them later and I dissect them and I figure out how I can duplicate them. And the language works just as well today. But a lot of it was storytelling. You know, the ad would be a story, and whether it was for a medical product or a cereal or whatever it might be, there was usually a comic or a photograph, you know, story, but usually done in comic panels, and they're really engaging. And we kind of lost that along the way. A lot of people just kind of disconnected from telling the story.
Yeah, true.
It's fun to see. So when we come back, we're going to talk about tools that you can use. We'll have our Tools of the Week segment, which is not referring to our hosts of the show. And
we hope
a little bit more with Brad coming right up.
Here we are in studio. Rod, what are you working on?
Public relations. If you're not getting media coverage for your business, you're missing a huge marketing avenue. The most basic and traditional form of public relations is the press release. It's effective. It's really effective. In fact, even the most successful digital and social media experts use public relations and press releases because it works.
And we have an expert who's going to help you understand how to do it better. And I can tell you, I've used his advice. It works. He's the expert.
Right. Make more money.
For our listeners, we've created a product that will help you start creating effective press releases right away. There are four major components to doing this. There's the hook, in which you have a hook or a news peg for your press release. There's the story, in which dullness kills. You got to write it well. And then there's two more that you have to know to make it work.
Go get your copy of this free report just for listeners of Grow the Dream Show. You can get it at gtdshow.com/PR. That's right, gtdshow.com/PR.
Do it. Do it now.
All right, it's time for Tools of the Week, but we have one more question for Brad.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Thank you. I wanted to ask Brad, what's he working on now? What's next? What's the next viral, what's the next virality you're working on there, Brad? What's coming out?
It's all Brushy Bear for me right now. VectorTunes, I have people who work for me who run the business, so I really, other than sort of the customer experience side of things, I don't do a lot on that business. So Brushy Bear started out as a side project, it's become my full-time job. So we've put out 14 songs now. Nice. We do one song a week, and they all have some virality built into them. And I did one last week for dental assistants. That's going crazy. We're about to break 1 million views on the Brushy Bear channel.
Nice. Congratulations.
It's pretty exciting. And so I'm doing a lot of, it's, you know, just building up, like we're doing a TV show pitch right now. For Brushy Bear, like we're doing a lot in that space, so that's really my new song.
Let's not forget the books on Amazon. The books are for sale.
Yeah, we got two books, so you know he's come to life. He's become my job.
Okay,
he's
cool.
He's like a real superhero. And we should mention there's also Flossy Fox. I mean, I know we talked about the cat, but there's Brushy Bear. He's a little bear with bristles on his head.
What the fox say?
And then there's Flossy Fox, who is you,
is that deck over your head?
Obviously, female. Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah. And then there's Cavity Cat, who's the one who, in our video, in the tongue brush video, he dragged his butt across the tongue. But normally he's got like a hammer and he's chiseling away at your teeth.
When are you guys going to start giving away stickers to physicians and such to like give out for Brushy Bear and some of these other characters?
Stickers to who?
Physicians,
dentists.
Oh,
you mean dentists?
I have a whole line of stickers, whole line of T-shirts, whole line of coffee mugs. It's all on the website.
Hey, think hats too for bald guys.
Yeah, and zits.
And yeah, zits, exactly. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm just
How many
so
times
thematic,
can we
I
say
knew it was coming.
Bum, zits.
Okay, so we're trying to make the show go viral. So, no, that's fun stuff.
Cat.
I tell you what, man, Brushy Bear has been a blast, and I got to say, it's been great for the Tongue Brush brand, and I know there are probably some more tongue cleaning videos coming too for Brushy Bear. So
right.
we're in this for the long haul. Brushy Bear is like our pal.
Okay, so the formula is take your business, the niche that you're in, add some sort of lovable character, insert cat.
Yep.
Make it polarizing.
Be disgusting if possible.
And post it as a video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like it.
Okay. Sounds good.
That's our new marketing formula, yeah. Right? You heard it here first.
Just for virality.
Tools of the week.
All right, tools. What do you got?
Let's do this. All right. So we've got a marketing tool. This one's called BoardView. Board view.
But not
dot io.
But it's not like you're bored. It's like you.
No, yeah.
B-O-A-R-D
view dot io.
BoardView.io. Okay. I'm there.
Yeah, so this tool basically allows you to map out your marketing strategy. So think of it like a brainstorming tool. Maybe you guys are familiar with like MindMeister.
It looks like a mind map. Yeah, it kind of looks like a mind map.
But it's specific to some of your marketing efforts, things like that. So if you've got a content strategy, so all these ideas you're coming up with, put them on the board, and then you can kind of prioritize them over time. And I think there's ways you can like connect different things into like a basically... like a workflow chart kind of thing. And I don't know. I ran into it. I don't know that I have as complex of a workflow as is necessary for this tool, but I've never seen anything like this.
I'm going to try this. I like it. There's a free trial, and then it's like $10 a user per month once you get past the 14-day free trial. But you can try it out with no credit card. So that's cool. BoardView.io. I like it. I'm going to try it.
All right. That's all I got.
Brad, do you have a tool for us?
I do. Yeah.
Cool.
I signed up to a new service. They've got an app. They've got a Chrome extension. It's called Fancy Hands.
Ooh.
I know. It sounds like a massage thing, but it isn't. it's a virtual assistant service. And it's done – it's sort of crowd-based virtual assisting. So I can get – for $200 a month, I can get 50 20-minute tasks done for me every month. And I've had these guys do some amazing things. Like I traveled to Orlando recently, and I had them price compare three different car services to find the best one to pick me up at the airport, and then book the car service and handle everything for me. And then what they do is they make all the calls for you, and they do everything. And then when it's time to pay, they patch you in.
Oh,
and
awesome!
They just patch you in. You give your credit card, and then the minute I was done talking to Carrie Limousine with my credit card, the Fancy Hands assistant came back on and said, they were like, okay, I'll give you the confirmation number. And he came right in. He said, I'll take it from here, Mr. Goss, and I'll put everything in your calendar. I hung up. Everything was done for me. They're amazing.
Nice. Love it. I see one of the testimonials on the homepage was like, my cable bill went up by $30. Can you call them and get the bill back down?
Yeah, they do that kind of stuff for you. It's amazing.
That's incredible. I love it.
I have to budget time to do that.
It's like headache solvers.
My wife is going to love this.
Actually, headache solvers.
And they'll just patch you in to verify that it's your account, and then that person can speak on your behalf.
Awesome.
They'll call your cell phone company and get you lower rates. They'll do like it's amazing.
The freelance economy is freaky, dude.
I love this. This is fancyhands.com. Probably under the hood, it's running like, what's that? Mechanical Turk or something from Amazon. this is an Amazon Web Services thing. No, I'm kidding. I'm just making that up. I don't know.
Probably not.
Yeah. No, they hire people. It's
legit. Yeah,
it's all American people, and I've never had a problem. Like, they've never failed me.
Oh, wow. That is really, really cool. Made in New York City, available everywhere. Look at that. Hey, I appreciate that. Fancyhands.com. Appreciate the tool, Brad. It's been great having you on the show. I think we've had a really fun show today.
This is a very different guest episode. I just want to, maybe that's how we teased it up front.
I think it's a great one, too, because we're married in some of David's knowledge on, what happened on that end of it. But Brad just brought a wealth of different ways of looking at it than I had been considering, and that's great.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you joining us today. Where can people find out more about you and what you're up to?
Facebook and Twitter, Brad Goss, or check out vectortunes.com.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we'll link out to all of those places in the show notes for today. And we are looking forward to a great show next week as well.
Absolutely.
All right.
That's a wrap.
See you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Grow the Dream Show. We invite you to subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app. Get connected to our growing community, add your comments, ask questions, and listen to the archives on the web at growthedream.com/show.